The Ethiopian eunuch never saw Philip again, but went on his way rejoicing. That's verse 39 of chapter 8 of Acts. He never saw Philip again, but he went on his way rejoicing. Our topic today in the Love Your Actual Neighbor series is joy. Joy is the first key ingredient in good neighboring. Neighboring, as I'm talking about it, is not about proselytizing, so it's not about strong-arming someone to come to church or to become a Christian. But instead, neighboring is about living out our faith exactly where we are planted, and it involves joy and relationship and abundance. And today, our topic is joy. Now, I think it's really important to make a distinction between joy and happiness, because a shallow understanding can confuse the two. So this distinction is according to Brené Brown and her book, The Atlas of the Heart. Happiness is self-focused. That doesn't make it bad, but it's self-focused. Happiness describes some form of good fortune that we receive, like money or health. It's pleasure related. It's centered on what is immediately around us in the moment. You know, I think of the happy meal and how often I would go to a fast food drive-through when my children were young, because immediate pleasure is a good thing when you're locked in the car with preschoolers, right? Everyone happy makes the driving easier. So happiness is about good fortune that I have in the moment. And joy is different. Joy is not a beginner's virtue. The source of joy is God. Joy is found in God and is accompanied by wisdom. The opposite of joy is not sadness, but the opposite of joy is fear. Brené Brown says that joy is a swirling of deep spiritual connection and pleasure and gratitude. So much so that her research has shown that gratitude leads to future joy, and then that joy leads to more gratitude. That gratitude and joy kind of swirl together. While experiencing joy, we don't lose ourselves, but Brené Brown says we become more truly ourselves when we experience joy. And I believe that to be true. Our true identity is hidden. It's revealed in joy to us. Joy comes when you know that you are loved and when you know that you have a place in the community. When you know you are loved and you know you have a place, then you find joy. This story in Acts chapter 8 of Philip and the Ethiopian is a story about the source of joy. It is a strange one. It's strange because the setting is 2,000 years ago with transportation and social roles that we don't see anymore and we don't really understand. But it's also a bit absurd. It's slightly comedic, almost in the way that our superhero movies are humorous because they're just nonsensical. Philip is running beside a chariot. Picture that. As coached by the Spirit. So the artwork on the bulletin is very beautiful, but it's a bit misleading. Because the chariot would be more like a carriage, not moving like a bullet train. You know, this isn't an athletic event. This is not a chariot in an athletic event, but this is a chariot of transportation. And the Ethiopian eunuch, an officer in the queen's court, wouldn't be driving. He would have a driver, a chauffeur. They've come from Jerusalem, where they've been to worship. And the Spirit says to Philip, go on, run up beside that carriage and stay with it. Catch him. He does it. Then he overhears the scripture being read aloud. It's the prophet Isaiah. And Philip jumps into the carriage to interpret it. It's important to remember that the main character in the story of Acts is not any of the disciples. So the main character is not Philip here, And the main character in the story of Acts is not Paul, it's not Peter, it's not any of the disciples. The main character in the book of Acts is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, throughout this book in the Bible, has been set loose. The Holy Spirit's a bit rogue, empowering, and bringing life and breath to the most surprising places, like a desert road at noon. That's where the angel sends Philip, the least likely place for new life and fresh breath. And the Spirit sends Philip to this Ethiopian eunuch, excluded from participation in temple rituals and prohibited from serving on the Sanhedrin, the highest ruling council for the ancient Jewish people. He's also foreign, from an exotic land. Ethiopia is the ends of the earth, the edge of the world, for the first century Jewish and Greek mind. But none of that seems to matter to the Holy Spirit. None of it matters. Early church fathers Irenaeus and Eusebius taught that this excluded, prohibited outsider, the Ethiopian, became the first Christian to evangelize in Africa. He went on his way rejoicing, right? Christianity grew quickly and strongly in northern Africa and produced some great spiritual giants like Augustine and Origen. In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch is reading Isaiah. And I think he must have seen himself in the text. A sheep led to the slaughter. Justice was taken away from him. Who can tell the story of his descendants? These are all phrases from Isaiah 53. He asks Philip, about whom does the prophet say this? Is he talking about himself or someone else? And Philip basically answers, yes, and. He says, sure, that does sound like the story of a person. That does sound like your story. And it also is the story of the Messiah. The story of the saving work of Jesus, the suffering servant. And if they were to continue to read in the prophet Isaiah, which I suspect that they would. They're in chapter 53. And if they kept reading and they got to chapter 56 of Isaiah, they would come across these words. The days are coming when the eunuch who hears my voice and keeps my covenant, I will give him a place in my house and a name. And it shall be to him as generation and generation and generation of children. This prophecy from Isaiah is fulfilled as we read chapter 8 of Acts. The Ethiopian is baptized. Look, water, he says. What's to keep me from being baptized? They stop the carriage. They go down to the water. Philip baptizes him. He is given a place in the story of God. An understanding that he is loved. He now has a people. He now has a legacy. He now has honor. Generation and generation and generation of children. Then the Holy Spirit suddenly takes Philip away. Theologian Willie James Jennings of Yale University, the Divinity School at Yale, makes a most interesting point about the end of this story in Acts. He wrote, Philip is not allowed to stay. To tell the Ethiopian who to be or how to be. How to see himself or how to receive a preloaded life script of Christ. While you and I might really like to have that script, we might really like to know exactly how to be. Or if you're like me, you'd really like to give that script to other people. tell them how to be in Christ. Acts tells us it's not the priority of the Holy Spirit. The church, Dr. Jennings writes, has been too quick to impose an image of what's true and good and beautiful from our perspective on those who have been made free by the Spirit. God doesn't want that. The Holy Spirit is not for strangling joy, but the Holy Spirit is for setting joy loose. Several years ago, when my oldest daughter was in college at University of North Texas in Denton, I went to see her, visit her for a couple of days, and she wanted to take me, or really she wanted me to take her and her friends, to their favorite restaurant, their favorite brunch place. It was a weekday morning, and I remember this because the friends told me, my daughter told me, it's going to be crowded, but we'll be able to get in because on the weekends, you can't get into this place. It's impossible to get into. You can't get a table. As we pulled up into the parking lot, it was obvious to me that this was the place to be because there were a lot of cars there in the middle of the morning. But it was a big parking lot. Whoever planned this restaurant knew that a crowd would come, so we found a place to park, and we went in. As I got out of the car, I thought, man, there's something really familiar about this place. What is it? What is it? Denton is a college town. And so in the restaurant, there were all kinds of people there. I saw skin stretched and pierced in ways I didn't know it could be stretched and pierced and painted. I saw hair cut and dyed in ways that I didn't know it was fashionable to be cut and dyed. I did my best not to embarrass my child. Sometimes I succeed. We walked into the restaurant on these beautiful wooden floors and up to the hostess stand, and immediately I knew two things. This restaurant was first built as a church. I could see it. I could see where the pulpit had been. I could see where the choir loft had been. I intuitively spotted where the center aisle would have been and where the beautiful stained glass windows would have hung. But I also knew this. The place was packed. It was loud. There was a diverse crowd of people laughing and sharing meals together. You know what? They were all acting like they knew that they were loved. I felt the impulse to call for everyone's attention. Excuse me, hello, can I have your attention? Pipe down in here. Reverence, please. Don't you know that we're in a church? But the Holy Spirit would have none of that. So bent is the Holy Spirit on setting joy loose. I want Spring Creek and each of our homes to be places where joy abides and joy thrives. So my question for you this morning is, do you know that you are loved? And do you know that you have a place in this community as you are, exactly as you are? And will you work in small ways, in whatever ways that the Holy Spirit leads you, to tell your actual neighbors that they are loved and that you are glad to know them? Then joy will thrive, because joy comes when we know that we are loved and we know that we have a place. Pray with me. God of joy, we gather together to celebrate your great love, for you meet us when we feel most lost, and you find us when we have no home. You never give up on creation. You delight in creating, and you delight in creation. And so this day, we take just a moment of silence to find gratitude for the ways that you work in our lives and our world. Come, Holy Spirit, celebrate with us and connect us to one another and to the community around us. May your presence in every place and circumstance be our joy. Amen.